Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi there. Welcome to New Life Live. It is Steve Arterburn here, and I am joined by two great folks, Chris Williams, and right here for the second time, Randy Powell is joining us. He is a trained professional. He is a marriage and family therapist, and he's founder and executive director of Journeys Counseling Ministry, and he's helped a lot of people, and we had him on before, and we said, okay, let's do it again. Anyway, hi, guys. You doing all right?
Yeah. Excellent. Having fun.
I'm doing very well, good. Except for one thing. There's one thing I'm having a trouble with, and it's actually something, Randy, that you had talked to me about. The difference between coping and caring. So there's self-coping mechanisms, and then there's self-caring mechanisms. What's the difference?
Yeah, coping gets you through an issue. So as you know, you're hurting or pressured, you cope by getting through it. But care is something that changes or heals or corrects. So if I have a sore tooth, I eat on the other side, I'm coping with the tooth.
Yes.
But to care for it is to go to the dentist and have some work done.
Yeah.
So caring actually feeds us, nourishes us, makes a change of some form.
Because I find that a lot of us get stuck in our issues, in our struggles, and we find ourselves coping with the issue. Maybe that be the extra drink at night, or maybe that be binge-watching TV. But the problem is never resolved. Caring or self-care is about addressing the problem and working through the actual problem itself. Would that be accurate?
That's accurate. It also is nourishing.
Yes.
So when we have care, it's not only a problem, it needs nourish. Because sometimes we take something that makes us feel good, like ice cream, but it doesn't nourish our body, but it feels good for the moment, which is fine. I love my ice cream. But somewhere I've got to eat good food as well, and that's caring.
Yeah.
And that's the way we are wired, is to go for the easy route, the quick fix, the instant solution. And fortunately, some of us have some good, great parents and guidance and direction that help us to grow and help us to be able to have this wonderful gift that we have to give it to ourselves. It's called delayed gratification, and it really does change everything. Now, I want to tell you about something really exciting here, and well, it's exciting for me, but all next week on KKLA, it's 99.5 in Southern California, that is one big radio station and market. Frank Sontag is leaving, and I am filling in for 5 days from 2 to 4 p.m., and you can listen on 99.5 or on the internet, KKLA.com. It is a really big deal to me, and so I'm going to talk about some stuff that maybe we wouldn't talk about here, and it'll be a lot of fun. So if you're in the LA area or anywhere, you could join me, kkla.com or 99.5 KKLA. Really excited about doing that. And also I want to mention before I go to a break that we are doing Every Man's Battle online on August the 7th. And so some people just can't travel or whatever, for whatever reason. And so we're doing it online. We do them face-to-face. We're going to do that. We love doing that. But we're not going to abandon online totally. So August the 7th, it will not get much easier to find the keys to sexual integrity and live a life of purity than on that August 7th. It is a transformational experience. And you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and we'll tell you all about it. When we get back, we'll go to the phones. Randy Powell, Chris Williams, Steve Arterburn here. Hope that we can say something that will be helpful to you. We'll be back right after this. And in the meantime, you can watch this program on the New Life Live YouTube channel. Hope that you will.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back at the break. We were talking about the soul in the last book Dave and I wrote, The Soul of a Hero. You know, it's amazing. Your soul, it is going to, it longs for a connection with God. It longs for a restoration and healing if it's been broken and hurt, and yet we just don't know how to really take care of it. The soul of a hero is about seven different things that a real hero does, and one of them is, you know, start small. Well, that's what Jesus did. He became a little baby and entered our world. It doesn't get much smaller than that. But you can get a copy of it at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It is called The Soul of a Hero. Right now, we're going to go over here, and we're going to talk with Janet. She listens on KKLA. She's a Club New Life member, is what they told me. Janet, how are you today? What's going on in your life?
I'm great, guys. Thank you so much for being there. So, exactly what you were talking about at the intro about delayed gratification, caring, and nurturing, it's similar to what I'm experiencing with my 13-year-old grandson who lives in another state. So I haven't really seen much of him, but he's coming to stay for 2 weeks while his mother goes through some transitions. He is 13. He's about 300 pounds.
Oh, boy.
Food is something that he uses, and his mom and every, you know, to comfort him. He eats what he wants. Anything that's healthy for him, he, I mean, shuts his mouth down, will not take it. Yet he has the mindset. He wants to lose weight. He feels, you know, bad. But I think what has happened is his mom did not, we didn't know this kind of kid. So he was born with some, like maybe attention deficit disorder. Mm-hmm. He has an inability to focus, and he gets this persistence anytime. You know, if he wants something, please, no, won't. He won't let it go. And so it kind of wears you down. So now he's here, and my rules are a little bit different, not the best. I don't know how to get him to let him know, first of all, I'm not the enemy. He despises me to some degree, yet he's a loving kid. But because I tell him he cannot have this at this time or until he does a chore, make up your bed. He does everything half-heartedly with one hand. He throws things. He's a
okay. I think we get it here. So and
okay.
What's the specific question then? I think I know. But
for these 2 weeks that he's with me, how do I... And my husband, how do we get him to understand that we are trying to help him overcome these things?
Let me just make a quick comment for you, and then I'll start with Randy, what he's thinking. I'm sad for him that it has been allowed to progress to 300 pounds. It is so hard to lose that kind of weight. And it's almost impossible to feel good about yourself. And it's, I think, almost impossible to have a normal childhood and teen years. And I'm just going to ask a quick question, and then I'll turn it over to Randy. But what is it in your daughter that that you can see? Yeah. It's unwilling to tell him no the way you're doing.
She is all about no, Nasir. No, you cannot. No, you, Nasir. And he has a very a connection with her. They're very close.
Well, he hasn't. She hasn't been living up to that. No.
No, she. I think she has just been worn down by his this thing that he has.
Okay, well, let's see what Randy has to say, and then we'll go to Chris and get some insight from him. Randy?
Oh, yeah. This is a classic situation where someone is just coping. There's obvious pain and hurt deep somewhere within him, and this is really sad, Janet, because it's our body trying to find comfort, solace, instead of finding that we have great value and that we are children of God with value. So we have to help in this situation to not see himself on the external weight at the moment. He needs to see who he is inside, that he is a masterpiece made by God with great beauty. Now, he's scarred, marred, maybe even painted over with the weight. That's the external. But the internal has to find the value as a masterpiece made by God with great value.
Chris, what are your thoughts here?
And the way that we can help bring that to life is this thing called love. But it's a very specific type of love, or shows itself in specific ways. And that is, you know, his think of his behavior as rebellion. Mm-hmm. But it's not rebellion against you. It's rebellion against the way he feels. And so by reflecting back to him the things that you've told us, man, you are smart, you are good, reinforce it, be encouraging, be all of those things as you hold to the boundaries, you know, making sure your room's clean, eating something a little healthier is a form of love, of care. He hears it as a form of punishment or most likely even shame. You know, because this 13-year-old boy, it's no secret to him the weight that he's carrying around. And so what he wants to do is, again, hole up, meaning hide himself from the world, and then comfort himself. And so you're helping him show up to the world. And Janet, you just have to realize that you're, 1 week with you or a limited time with you is not going to be curative. It's not going to get him out of it, but you are going to show him a different way of being.
And you want to be in contact with his mother, telling her what you're doing, what his reaction is, and that you don't want to waste all this effort you're going through, that you are suffering for her and for him, and you're going to set some things in place. And you expect her to follow through on it. And I'm telling you, if it was my child would be under the care of someone who could implement a multidisciplinary fix here, which has to do with changing the way he eats in the beginning, not even the amount, but the way he eats, what he eats, the movement, the exercise. And when you have somebody working on the inner person, getting that person moving and eating things that make them feel better rather than the roller coaster sugar spike and plunge, things change. And that's what I would encourage you to do, is find the resource for him that can really support what you're doing and make what you're doing lasting and support it. But man, this is just a horrible situation where I would hate for you to go to all this, you and your husband, and then he goes back home and it was just a waste of your time. I don't want that for you, Steve.
I think you also bring up something really important in the multidisciplinary approach, is we've got to figure out what's going on with this kid medically in his body. So a good medical evaluation of what's happening, you know, with his body is, I think, really important here.
Yeah, you're working on the finite physical side and also the soul side. Very similar. I haven't had a chance to read the book of The Soul of a Hero, but we're talking the soul needs fed. So you're feeding his soul to be stronger and also attending to the body and the finite and habits and changes. So it's a both battle that we're working on in this situation.
Yeah.
So, Randy, why haven't you read the book? I'm just curious. Well, you know,
you haven't given it to me.
That's true. You can have one. You know, we do a program called Lose It for Life. And it's all about the gradual changes that you can sustain for all of your life. What good does it do if you change everything, eat 800 calories a day, and then you stop losing the weight, and now you're eating 5,000 a day, and you're right back where you were? So we've got to make some small changes. And it really has proved to be effective over the years. And it begins, really, with a child like him getting up 30 minutes earlier than he gets up now, which means he needs to go to bed 30 minutes later. I mean, earlier. Now, when you eliminate 30 minutes off of the night time for somebody being awake, you're eliminating, typically, for someone like him, 30 minutes of high-calorie intake, and you're replacing them, getting him up early, with 30 minutes that don't typically involve a lot of consumption early in the morning. Well, then, once he's got a habit of starting his day 30 minutes earlier, he can start to take a walk during that 30 minutes. And so you see, first you get him used to getting up and having the time to exercise. Then you suggest the type of exercise that for most people, they can do it, and it's what they need to do. He can take a walk, and that walk can get longer and longer. And then now he is starting to feel a little bit better. He's got some fresh air in those lungs, and he's not sedentary. Now we see a little bit of motivation for him to eat differently, make some changes, start dealing with more protein, less simple carbohydrates. And you just put one thing on top of the other in his life at home, while at the same time, this guy is going to see somebody like Randy or Chris, and he's saying things like, I hate being large. I hate what people say about me. I hate being defined by my weight, but I am powerless. It seems I'm powerless to do anything about it. And then, well, he can hear back. That's the beginning. When you finally realize that in and of yourself, you don't have the power to make all of those changes, and God does have that power, and we start to surrender, and we start to see our life from God's perspective, not our selfish, self-obsessed, needing comfort perspective, and it starts to change even more. Well, all of that, it begins with a little, tiny, doable change. It's not changing everything at once. Because if you're 300 pounds, you're not much in any kind of change. It's a horrible, horrible way to exist. I would just say to any parent who has a child that is that large that, you know, do that child a favor and get them some help, because it's just a, oh my goodness. When I was overweight and I was young, I hated to know that summer was coming, because that's when everybody got into a swimsuit, took their shirts off, and it was so humiliating and embarrassing. I just hated summer. And there are so many folks that are in that situation, young people that are full of shame, feeling like an outcast, and people aren't nice. And so get them whatever help that you can find for them. It really makes all the difference in the world.
And I think the other thing with that, Steve, too, and I can say this as a father of two young boys, is that it's so easy for us parents to get caught up in focusing only on their behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And what we end up doing is we miss the opportunity of the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And so attuning to the inside, and again, kids aren't very expressive about what they're feeling on the inside, but helping them start to identify what they're feeling, what they're experiencing, and walking them through the issues of the heart will really pay off dividends as we help form their divinity, the infinite side, their finite side will go along with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Excellent.
Well, I'll tell you, it's painful when you're with a counselor as an adult, as a parent, and they say to you, where do you think maybe you could have done a better job? And I want to say to them, what are you talking about? But to really sit with that and to examine, what is it I could do better? Man, that can change everything.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
RV. We're back. Steve Arterburn, you're really glad you're with us here today. Larry Sonnenberg is in the studio. And Larry, what I love about your commitment and dedication is you go to every man's battle every time we have one. And it really is. I mean, a lot of people go through life. They will never, ever see somebody on a Friday hate where they are, have a horrible attitude, talk to no one, have their arms folded as the first speaker gets up there. And then on Sunday, you know, just day after tomorrow, that person is weeping and in front of everybody and saying, this is the greatest thing that's ever happened to me in my life. A lot of people will never experience that, and you experience it every single month.
It's a front row seat to the Holy Spirit doing the work.
Yeah.
There is nothing better in life than to witness guys in that turnaround aha moment. And when they're crying, it's because they don't want to go home and face what they're going to face.
Yeah, that could be. Well, you know, one of the most moving things is a guy gets up and he goes through a process symbolically allowing Christ to remove the penalty of the sin that he's committed, to wash it out. And then when he comes off of doing that, comes off the stage or the side area, you hear these pats happening. He's hugged, and hugs, the guys are patting his back, and you just know he's feeling love and acceptance, maybe like he's never felt before. What do you have for us today, Larry?
Well, I want to share a testimony from a recent Every Man's Battle workshop.
Okay.
This is from a man named Victor. He says, having the no shame, no judgment zone made it easier to share my story. I would encourage any man struggling with the battle to attend this workshop. I would even encourage those men that think they don't struggle to attend. You'll be forever grateful. I leave this workshop today feeling more liberated, more relieved, and more hopeful. Hopeful to know that my life is not over and knowing God has greater plans for me. In 2 weeks, I'll be getting sentenced and could face up to 10 years in prison.
Oh, boy.
While it's still scary not knowing the unknown, I somehow feel equipped and more at peace to face whatever happens in 2 weeks. Mm. Perhaps it's because now that God is not done with me yet. I know now that God is not done with me yet, and He has forgiven me for my sins. I believe it's now time for me to forgive myself.
Powerful. Powerful. That's really wonderful. You know, as you were reading that, Larry, I was thinking about Pascal's wager, where he said, you know, if you believe in Christ, but he's not real, then you really haven't lost anything. But if you don't believe in Christ and he is real, you're losing for eternity. And for the guy that says, I don't need to go there, well, let's just say that that's true. If you go and you don't need it, well, number one, it's not going to be bad for you. It'll be great for you. You'll be able to encourage other men if you don't, quote unquote, need it. So you could say the worst thing that would happen in going is you would spend a weekend with other men who are transforming their lives and becoming authentic men. That's your downside. The upside is you might discover, I do need it, or I'm going to end up like this guy, and I'm going to end up going to prison, or I'm going to end up in divorce court paying tons and tons of money. And it really is, it's one of the most consequence eliminating things that we do. Because up ahead, if you don't stop and start recovery, the consequences are so very severe. It gets worse and worse.
Steve, I guarantee you that any guy that goes there, even if he thinks he doesn't need it, he's going to gain some really good stuff.
Yeah.
Really good stuff. I go every month, and I may be a slow learner, but I get something every time I'm there.
Yeah.
I mean, I get reminded of things. Jason will just tweak something, and I hear it differently. But he says things that are universal to men in general. And then there's the specific things about an addiction or disclosure or things that, if you don't need it, will just be a little icing on the cake, so you know what you're going to prevent by going there.
Yeah, really good. Anything else you want to say to us before we ask folks to support this ministry?
Yeah, well, that was my next thing. You know, we've done a good job in receiving gifts. I can't say we've done a good job in raising gifts, because God has been the source of all that.
He's
blessed us. But we have had resources now to do things we've been wanting to do and couldn't do. And for instance, I know in the weeks to come, we're going to talk more publicly about a parenting seminar or workshop.
So, Larry, we've been around 34 years or so. And people have continued to ask us over and over again, why don't you do a parenting workshop? We're going to do it. It took 34 years for them to get through. But because of the support we're getting, these are good days at New Life. And if you help us, we'll get to do more things we've been waiting to do.
Well, the other things quickly is we've hired some staff to really tighten things up, make things better.
Yes.
There's three or four key people that have been hired that it just... changing the making a big difference at New Life.
Yeah, they are.
And I have never been this enthusiastic, hopeful, excited, proud about what's ahead of New Life as I have been. And this is my 18th year.
Larry's had 18 years of a bad attitude. to see you be optimistic, it's just wonderful, Larry. It's a gift. And I thank all the supporters who've gotten us to this point.
Guys,
seriously, it is amazing.
Guys get a change at every man's battle in 36 hours. It took me 18 years.
18 years, yeah. But you're there.
Okay.
All right, we'll be back after this.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I did go to Take Your Life Back. That's why I continue to support the ministry, with the hope that not only am I helping my own situation, that I'm helping others as well.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the New Life Member Thank You Gift of the New Life Journal, 100 Days of Peace, 7 Ways to Choose Healing, Growth Has No Boundaries, a Restoration Bible, and a New Life Grocery Tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits, like access to the Club New Life Video Library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arden here. Really glad you're with us here today. And Randy Powell is here, and we're glad. Doing a great job, Randy. We'll have you back again as long as you tithe to the ministry. And then Chris Williams. Chris and I are doing the Emotional Freedom Workbook in August. Really excited about doing the Emotional Freedom Conference. And, you know, one of the things that we deal with, I think, so well, it's so needed and so appreciated, is dealing with a person's anxiety. And so if you come, we will help you with anxiety. And I was saying to you guys at the break, you know, I have been going to a counselor or a therapist for probably 40 years, over 40 years, spent hundreds of thousands of dollars in insurance benefits, actually. But I've learned one thing. I've learned one thing. And I just, if you're an anxious person, here it is. It's so profound. It was actually life-changing for me. My mom was, you know, she's prone to worry, and so I kind of picked up on a little of that. But here it is. Here's the one thing that all that counseling has taught me. And you get it for free by listening. Here it comes. it's going to be okay. That's it. It's going to be okay. Think about all the things that were so horrible that might happen 2 years ago, or what struggle you had 10 years ago, or whatever. And you know what? It turned out okay. You're here. And everything that you are worrying about up ahead is going to be, one way or another, it's going to be okay. Now, when we go to work on some things, when we take a look at where was that first traumatic thing that caused this intense, beyond normal fear and anxiety, when we start to look at that and start to work on those things, well, it's going to be okay a lot sooner. And we're going to feel okay a lot sooner about a past that we simply don't know what's ahead. Any thoughts on that, guys?
I think it's key what you said there, Steve, is that we can think it's going to be okay, but when our feelings betray us, but it's really not our feelings betraying us, it's our feelings relying on historical information. Yeah. When I get stuck in not feeling okay, that feeling tends to take over my mind. Or yeah. There is this huge wrestling match between, hey, it's mm-hmm. okay, I'm okay. But then that stinking anxiety is really pops itself up, and it's really hard to battle that. And Randy, you talk about what you call the bear. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not a bear, mm-hmm. right?
It's the same thing as it's going to be okay. It's not a bear. We're reacting like a bear because yeah. of past experiences or current life stressors. So our brain is going into danger mode, and it's responding to try to fight the bear, the perceived bear.
Yes.
But most yeah. of the time, it's not a bear.
That's right. And thanks for saying most of the time, because our son, James, we were in Knoxville, Tennessee, and at a cabin. And he was jogging, and a bear, literally, it was a bear. He had to run up onto he got up on the roof to get away from the bear. But rarely does that happen. All right, let's go back to the phones, and we're going to talk to Tina from Carpinteria, California. Hey, Tina, how are you?
Hi, I'm great. Thanks for taking my call. Okay, I'm in transition, and I'm 70. It was very close to my son, and had so much fun with all their friends all these years. Gets married to a great, great gal. Really awesome, really awesome. First kid, really awesome. Second kid, really awesome. Then they get to be, and then I said, hey, you guys ought to get some friends of your own. And then they did. And now I feel so left out.
That's rough.
So,
yeah. You and a bunch of other people that are grandparents feel the same. Randy, Chris, your thoughts on that?
Well, my thought goes back to you're in this really incredibly beautiful area. My favorite beach camping is right there, and Rincon Point has some pretty amazing surf. So when you said Carpinteria, I was immediately transported to where you're walking on the beach and think it's amazing. But any geography without good community can be a miserable place. And so no matter how nice of a place we are, what makes it nice is those who are there with us. And so as, you know, I'm a younger guy, so it's hard to say this, but I'm, you know, when I transitioned from Colorado to California, I lived in a pretty lonely place and a beautiful place for a long time until I intentionally had to go out and make friendships, make new connections, and find those relationships in my life. That took a while, but we're in constant transition, especially in our world and our culture today, in that the people who we did life before, maybe we don't find ourselves doing life with them anymore. And that is a really, really painful experience. And
what should she do? What would be one thing she could do to make life better?
Well, first and foremost is find out what are the activities that other 70-year-olds are doing in your area.
Well, you're also looking for your goals. What are your goals?
I am the queen of invention.
Oh, that's awesome.
I have invented this club and that club and this club and that club. I've got a million friends. people my age, God bless them, they're taking care of their aged somebody or their ill somebody, and I'm doing the same thing. And it's the younger people that are fun, because I can't see how old I am. Yeah. I go, what do you mean you don't think I'm fun anymore? I have no idea how old I am. I think I'm still really cool and fun.
Well, I think that's a great place to be. And I hope something we've said has helped a little bit here. You know, I think just like this, the transitions that we go through, I mean, we never stop going through transitions. And, you know, you think you've got it all under control, things are going well, and then all of a sudden, uh-oh, my kids that are grown, they don't quite have the time for me that I used to have. But that's not the only transition. Let's talk about there. Every transition has some pain with it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think one of the things that I'm seeing, one in my own life, but in the people around me, is what lengths we go to avoid grief.
Mm-hmm.
The sense of sorrow or loss as we go through transitions, whether it be the normal transition of children growing up and leaving the home and empty nesting, or finding their own life, or moving to a new community, new job. But these things, like you said, Steve, are happening all the time, and they're having an impact on us, but we always don't know what to do with them.
Yeah, what you saying about grieving, when we have real close relationships, there's both joy to see them, the kids, grow, and a sadness. When my kids, my daughter, my eldest, went off to college, which was only about two blocks away, but she moved into the dorms, and she was no longer in her room. Every time I walked by the room, I felt a missingness. I felt a pain, a sadness. Yeah. And so we talk about that, embrace it, allow the sadness to occur, and then go and focus on the joy that she's independent, she's growing, she's taking care of herself. So it's allowing both to exist, the sadness and the joy.
Yes.
Well, you know, I think being a mother is such an amazing thing, and you want to be able to devote your time to your kids. But I've said this, and people, if you can believe this, I get criticism, and it's just shocking when I do, but actually it's pretty common. Anyway, but I said, you know, I really fear for the mom who just has the kids, because they're not going to be there. And I think you have to prepare for that, and you prepare for it either by, while they're at school, you're doing some courses online, or you have a hobby or sport you develop so that when they're gone, you've got that. Or you work on developing community beyond those kids. And I tell you, there's some folks that have been so committed, dedicated to their kids, and then the kids leave, and they're just absolutely miserable. And I think you have to plan if you're going to avoid that.
And I think that we're in that constant process of creating our own life. And if our life has been created around somebody else and that leaves, then, again, we're left with nothing. And that might be the death of a loved one, the transition of children. That could be a lot of different things, whether healthy or unhealthy or in our control or not. But, Randy, you had mentioned something I think was really important, it's been important in my own life, is that in these transitions, what guides us, and sometimes setting goals are a guiding light to tell us where we're going.
Yeah, the goals are, you know, even when the child is first born, our goal is to make them independent. Yeah. And yet when it occurs,
well, of course, right.
it's shocking at that moment of independence, but that's the goal. In the middle, in the process of helping them launch well, we also need to look that God made us, and we have passions and gifts and talents, and we need to be developing those even while they're in the launch phase.
I tell you, transitions are tough. I'm glad that I really appreciate this phone call where we don't spend enough time talking about the struggle to transition into a whole new way of living.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. We're going to Nicole. Hi, Nicole. Dallas, Texas, where you're calling from, KWRD, and how can we help you today?
Oh, thank you for taking my question.
Sure.
So I have a brother who was diagnosed with paranoid schizophrenia.
Oh.
He is 47 years old, And he won't take his medicine. He doesn't mm-hmm. think anything is wrong. And I'm just at a standstill of how I can continue to help him.
Yeah. Well, you know, you're not the first person who has a loved one who won't comply by taking the medication. And, you know, there are certain things that people have found that work, and there are certain things that don't work. But in the area of schizophrenia, there the newer medications are really some breakthrough science. And people 20 years ago that couldn't function in society now can do pretty well because of how they have refined the medication. And I'm just wondering if there is any way that the medication could be delivered once a month by injection or once a week or something like that, where it's not dependent on him picking up and taking a pill for it to get into his system. What do you think? Is there any way he might be able to take it in a different way?
Well, that is definitely something to think about, but the challenge with him is that he doesn't think anything is wrong. So yeah. It's almost like if he thinks he has to get an injection,
yeah.
then he's, you know, he might wonder, like, then why am I doing this? There's nothing wrong with me.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this. Why do you think something's wrong?
Well,
why do you think?
We started to see his behavior change.
Okay.
And one of the, a family member had to get a mental warrant for him. And so he had to go to a facility where he was diagnosed with that. But prior to that, we could see that his behavior had
okay. And what was that behavior?
Extremely.
What was that behavior?
He thought people were following him.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
He thought people were listening to him through the television, on
sure.
the phone.
Yeah.
And so that was kind of the kickstart of it.
So when you remind him of what happened there and he went to the facility, does he respond at all by saying, oh, yeah, I remember that now, or I've forgotten about that?
No, he remembers that he went, and he thinks that there wasn't a reason for him to go. He thinks mm-hmm. it's part of this whole plan that someone
yeah.
has for him.
Yeah. All right, well, let's see what Randy and Chris have to say, because it's so common. Here's an answer, but they won't take it.
Yeah, you're obviously, Nicole, caring and loving your brother, and that's beautiful. And one of the most difficult things any of us face is when someone we love, someone we care, doesn't want to follow the prescriptions, the assignments, the things they need to do to improve. I have people who walk in our counseling office and they'll say, help me, but then they won't work on it. And that is more, that's something that will make me cry faster than anything else I can think about, is to see them walk out when we have something that can help them. And that reminds me of Jesus when he said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I've longed to gather you as a hen would gather her chicks, but you would not. The most difficult thing is to grieve, and that's a deep grieving of Jesus when all he wanted to do was love and care for us. And you're obviously wanting to love and care for your brother, but there's a point where sometimes all we can do is grieve and pray that a miracle will come where he'll see the need for the meds.
Chris, anything you could suggest for her that might be helpful?
Yeah, I think along the lines that Randy was talking about is that it's still important for you to protect yourself or set boundaries around the behavior that is damaging or dangerous, the unsavory behavior. And again, you're not punishing him or shaming him for any of that stuff. You're just saying it doesn't work for me and it's harmful for me, while you're continuing to invite him in to get help. But as Randy was saying, with when these high-end mental illness disorders are incredibly painful, even for us in the profession, because they're a disorder that tells you you don't have it mm-hmm. in your
yeah.
own brain. And it
yeah.
is just really, really painful. And so you want to keep inviting him and keep the door open to help, but you also want to have boundaries to protect yourself as you're going through the grieving process.
So one other thing is, sometimes you have to be sure you're not preventing him kind of hitting bottom like alcoholics do and others. You don't want to cushion that. You want him to actually do that so he does end up in a facility where maybe this time somebody will break through to him and he will do that one thing that everybody needs to do to get better. You know, there's surrender where it's that emotional, spiritual big deal. But there's another kind of surrender. It's called compliance. Mm-hmm. And there's no emotion there. It's a decision to comply. But that, for many people, is the beginning of everything starting to change. And so anything you can do to communicate with the psychiatrist or people that have cared for him, get those suggestions. I would be going online and just Google, how do you gain compliance with medication from a non-complying loved one, and see what is there. I'm going to do that after we hang up. All right, and I'm really glad that you called. I'm glad that he has you. And as I said, just be sure you're not preventing him from coming to the end of himself. Well, Randy Powell, really great to have you here again on the broadcast. And I'm going to give you a chance. We've got a couple of minutes. I'll give you 30 seconds. Tell people something that you know to be true that might be helpful in their life today.
I think I would go with a masterpiece, that I am a masterpiece. Each one of us are masterpieces made by God.
There you go.
No mistake. In Genesis, he said, it is good, all that I've created. The problem is sometimes as a masterpiece, we do get marred. We do get scarred. We get painted on. The Mona Lisa has been restored a few times. So part of what we do is restore to the beauty that God made us. And that's what we get to help with in churches, and we do for each other, is to help restore to the masterpiece God made us.
All right, so when you're down, I want to tell you, there's something the Mona Lisa's doing. She's smiling.
Yes.
And they did, I was just reading about a project where they took some people that were depressed, clinically depressed, and half of them, they didn't tell them to do anything. And the other half, they said, we want you to smile, whether you feel like it or not. Every time you think about smiling, we want a smile on your face almost every minute of the day. Well, you can imagine what happened. About 20% improvement in their mood, and a chronically depressed person, not a lot can really help. I just love that study. And there is this thing of acting as if. When I was deeply depressed, I did the things I did not want to do. I got out of the house. I went out to a golf course. I exercised. And it's doing the thing you don't want to do that gets you out of that deep, deep mood, or even help you be free of the anxiety. If you need some help, would you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE? Gift of any amount, I will send you 100 Days of Freedom from Fear and Anxiety. Thank you, Chris Williams. Thank you, Randy Powell. Thanks to all of you who support, listen, watch, and pray for us. We love you. We care about you. 1-800-NEW-LIFE if we can help you in any way possible.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again on Monday for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.